beginning to teach things regarding the law. According to verse 6, the Galatian Christians were deserting the gospel of Christ for that teaching. This teachers of the law problem followed the apostle his entire earthly ministry, and under different names, it's still very much alive today. This morning we'll take a look at the teaching Paul used to discredit one aspect of this false doctrine. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. We know that you've given it to us so that we can defend ourselves against false teaching. Help us to be discerning. Help us to follow what your word says, Heavenly Father. And help us today as we consider these things. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version, Galatians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at a few verses, starting with verse 1. And he started right off with a cheerful note and said, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Question, who bewitched you? Paul already knew who they were. By their message. The message designated who they were. Because back in Galatians, if we turn back there, we don't have to. In chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he," Simon Peter, "used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision." These were powerful guys. They touted the line that they were the sons of Abraham, that they knew what they were talking about. And so they swept in on these new Christians and started teaching them to perform the works of the law. Now, this is a different tactic than the one used to destroy Christ's church. Now, remember, Paul persecuted the church. He killed people. He took them to prison, all of those kind of things, prior to his conversion. We could read in Galatians chapter 3, "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism." This is the apostle speaking. "How I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." However, we find by history, under persecution, the church thrived. Spiritually, these Christians thrived under that persecution. So now the tactic's different. False teaching. That'll do it. And it's doing it today. Now he says, "Who has bewitched you?" Bewitch is a word that means to fascinate by false representations. When I think of the word bewitch in Scripture, I think of the ventriloquist and the puppet or the dummy, whatever you would call. Now, if we were standing up here and I was a ventriloquist and I had this dummy and I'd be throwing my voice to the dummy, you'd be watching the dummy. You wouldn't be watching me. That means to bewitch, to fascinate, something that's not real. And I know you've all done that. I mean, we've even done it on TV, something that's not real, and yet our minds are just focused to that, thinking that thing is real. But it's not. So who has bewitched you? In other words, given you something that's not real. Where Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified, publicly portrayed means prographo, which is a Greek word, but means right previously. So it was a placarded notice that's generally put in public places so that people could read the latest thing. It might be a taxation or some public notice. They didn't have TVs, that type of thing. So these placards were put up there. And he says Jesus Christ was placarded as crucified. Everybody knew it. So that fact remained true. And that was the thing the Apostle Paul preached. Christ crucified. Now, this was after his conversion. And then in verse 2, the apostle goes on to say, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. So he said, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. And here's the question. Did you receive the Spirit? We're talking Holy Spirit now. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? In other words, you heard the gospel, you believed God. That's essentially it. So by hearing with faith. So did you receive the Holy Spirit by those works of the law or by believing God? Did you notice it was the Holy Spirit was the thing he's using? He talks about their own salvation experience. He's saying, do you recall when you received the Holy Spirit? That's really what it is. So it was a point in time he talked about, their conviction of sin, faith in Christ, relieved of the guilt of sin, love God's word, love God's people, spiritual gifts, all of those things. Holy Spirit came and abided within them. And he said, go back to that time. Was that caused by the works of the law or by believing the gospel or believing God? And that was the question he put before them. And now as we work on, he's going to build on that very question because they had to answer. They had to answer that they received the Holy Spirit when they believed God. I mean, they could have been practicing the works of the law till doomsday and they would have never received the Holy Spirit. But they received it when they believed God. So Paul took them back in time, had them remember, and so they verified it for themselves. We have an account of Gentiles. Now, the Galatian churches were primarily Gentiles, meaning they were not Jews. So this is when the gospel went to the Gentiles. Initially, it went to Jerusalem, then Judea, etc., etc., etc. This would be called the uttermost. So now we're talking about Galatia, which is Paul went to on his first missionary journey. However, we see the Holy Spirit given to Gentiles from Acts 10 at Caesarea. I'll go ahead and read this verse. While Peter was still speaking, these words of the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised, all the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit by believing the message. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So, in answer to the apostles' question, the Galatian believers had to answer, we received the Holy Spirit when we believed God and heard the message of salvation. It was not by the works of the law. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the authenticator, or the proof, you might say. There's the proof, and the apostles going right to that and saying, I can prove to you that you received the Holy Spirit just by you answering this question. So that authenticated their salvation. Anything else was a different gospel, and that's what he was really saying to them. So he's going to build on this. And in question 3, he's saying, and he uses this term again, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Now, we just determined that. They began in the Spirit. They didn't begin by doing the works of the law. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Now, we've got a couple words here we need to take a look at. The word flesh and perfected. What was he talking about when he said that? Now, we came up to speed really quick about the Holy Spirit and works of the law. Now, he introduced a new term, two new terms, flesh and perfected. What was he referring to? In verse 2, he said, regarding the Spirit, Paul contrasted the law, or works of the law, with faith. In verse 3, he introduced the flesh as an example. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And then in verse 5, when we'll get there in a minute, he's going to go back and contrast the Spirit and faith again and the law. But that term, the flesh, which is essentially human strength. But before we go there, did you notice he said, having begun? That means a point of time. They began their conversion, their new life in Christ as born-again believers by the Holy Spirit. It was a beginning. So we're looking at one pole or a start. And then he uses the term perfected, and we'll take a look at that. But flesh is human strength. It's not spiritual strength. It's something a human being can do. The person doesn't have to be born again to do it. A person born again only has the power of the Holy Spirit operating within them to perform the things they do, their spiritual gifts, God's love, if you will. A normal human being couldn't portray God's love like a born-again Christian could. So we can use synonymous terms. We would say the works of the law are flesh. So he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Now, we need to look at that term perfection. It's a completion word. We can look at it in, we see an example of it. If you'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We were looking at this last hour a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6. And the apostle writes, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, or the rulers of this age who are passing away. That word mature is not talking about physical maturity. We understand physical maturity. It's talking about spiritual maturity. It is the end product, you might say, of the Holy Spirit working within an individual. It's the word, that's the Greek word teleos. You'll be tested on this. And when we look at the word perfection, it is the kissing cousin of this very word. So we think of the word mature or fulfilled. Now we're going to go over to perfection, and it's the word teleo. Jot that down. And it's got an intensity prefix on it, epiteleo. It means really fulfilled, really complete. And he's saying, if you've begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish to think you're really going to be complete by the works of the law? That's really what he was saying, my translation there. So he put that question to them. Notice he's building on a truth that they've had to answer themselves. This is the way he's discrediting the false teachers who came in and were teaching them to do the works of the law. So, does it seem logical to you, Gentiles? Does it seem logical to anybody, having begun there, would they reach maturity by the deeds of the flesh? And that's the question he's asking them. Now, you know, there's individuals today and congregations today that are really heavy into doing the works of the law. Even though in Galatians it says, by the works of the law, no flesh was ever justified. But they keep trying to do that. And no flesh was ever brought to perfection by the works of the law. So they had to come to a conclusion that no, if they were going to reach spiritual maturity, they would actually have to do it by the Old Testament, by the Holy Spirit. Regarding spiritual maturity, we had looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 And it started out, there's a wisdom among those who are teleos, mature. It's not the run-of-the-mill wisdom. We see that over in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, if you'd like to look at that. Chapter 3, verse 1. And notice the apostle's frustration here. He's talking to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ." Now, these were born-again believers. They were just born again like every one of us once was. We were babes in Christ, babes as far as the Holy Spirit was concerned. Yet he's saying, I can't talk to you about the deep things because you're still babes. You haven't grown spiritually. I gave you milk to drink, he said, and not solid food, for you are not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able, for you're still fleshy, for since there's jealousy, etc. And then he says, you're walking just like mere men, ordinary mortals. You're not walking about like a person that's empowered with the Spirit, a born-again believer. You're walking just like an ordinary person. You understand like an ordinary person. There's no spiritual growth. You don't see the deep things of God. Can you sense his frustration? He had so much to tell them, but it was like talking to a post. So we see both poles, the spiritual babe and the mature, or perfection. And you say, are you going to reach perfection by the works of the law? That was the question he was giving them. We're talking about works of the law when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to born-again believers. The only people that have the Holy Spirit on this entire planet are born-again believers. Things we call Christians, believers. They've been born again spiritually. They contain the Holy Spirit. Everybody else doesn't have it. So, the born-again believers receive that because they're underneath the new covenant that's in Christ. Earl was just talking about it a few minutes ago. We drank the new covenant. Now, but there was an old covenant given at Mount Sinai, and it had in it the works of the law. When Earl said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, where, as born-again believers, we're under the new covenant. Those Galatian believers were under the new covenant and the blood of Christ. Now, if they decided to leave that new covenant and go back to the old covenant, according to the authority of Scripture, what would be happening is, in Hebrews 10, 28-30, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. In other words, that law of Moses was given on Mount Sinai. If somebody violated that, two or three witnesses, that person was a dead duck. That's all there was to it. Now, in Christ, remember, we've been made to die to the law. Through the body of Christ, that's in Romans 7, 4. Then he goes on to say, how much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and insulted the Holy Spirit of grace? You foolish Galatians, have you any idea what you're doing? False teachers, for perfection, go from new covenant back to the old covenant. That's literally what they were teaching. So, we use two terms. We can use new and old covenant. We can use works of the law. We work with the Holy Spirit. He goes on to verse 4. Did you suffer so many things in vain? As born-again believers, under the power of the Holy Spirit, yeah. There's suffering that happens. A lot of that suffering is for Christ to have us grow, to depend more upon him. Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and the spirit of the world does not like that. In Hebrews he says, but remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly becoming chairs of those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. In other words, they were no longer of this world. They were born again. They're the new creation in Christ. So, far as the world concerned, they said, you can have it. That's basically what they said. And they gladly received that. So, did you suffer so many things in vain, if it was in vain? And then verse 5, so then, and he's finishing up his thoughts. Does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Did you notice the answers are just the same every time? It's always by hearing but with faith. In other words, hearing and believing God, and that's the way they receive the Holy Spirit. Paul concluded his initial teaching, they in fact received the Spirit by faith and furthermore saw miracles in their midst. All of this, all of it was before they were taught the works of the law. And that's what he was teaching them. The false teachers that came into the church at Galatia, what were some of the things they were teaching? Well, we can get it right out of the book of Galatians. The first one, in Galatians 4, 9 through 11, if you'd like to look at it. But now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I've labored over you in vain. There was questions regarding the Sabbath. The Sabbath is according to the law. The false teachers were saying, you keep the Sabbath. Saturday. That was what they were teaching. But the scripture says, one person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And Colossians says, therefore let no one act as a judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The day they worshiped, the law designates it as Saturday. The works of the law say you only worship on Saturday. But remember, regarding the works of the law, if you put yourself under the law, you have to do every one perfectly, or you're guilty of every one. James wrote that. Those who are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the work of the law, book of the law. Nobody could do that except Christ. But they were teaching them certain things they had to do. What was another thing? The most famous thing in Galatians was circumcision. In Antioch, there were individuals from Judea came down and told the new born-again believers, unless you be circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you can't be saved. There's nothing wrong with circumcision, unless you're doing it to fulfill the law. Then there's problems. Not only then you have to do circumcision, but everything else. Regarding those who taught that, and the apostle keeps going to those false teachers, those who desired to make a good showing in the flesh, tried to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for what? The cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that you might boast in your flesh. Nothing wrong with circumcision, unless you're trying to keep the law, then that's a whole different issue. Serious stuff. So what have we learned today? False teachers teach the works of the law. They were there then, and folks, they're really here now. And I know I can mention different congregations that teach this all the time. I'm not going there. But the apostle says, I am amazed that you were so quickly deserting him. But as Dan read earlier, it says, but even if we are an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, let him be accursed, anathema, disfavored with God. That's serious stuff. Want to be careful about what is being taught with Christians. Not just any flippant thing, boasting of whoever they were. And then the apostle repeated again. The second thing we learned today is the Holy Spirit is the authenticator of our salvation. Can you remember when the Holy Spirit was within you and it changed you? You started to see things you never saw before. You had a different outlook. You were free from the guilt of sin. That was the authenticator of salvation. Spiritual growth is to be expected. We were designed to grow spiritually. The final thing I would mention, and this is for free, in Galatians chapter 3, when we were moving ahead, we finished, I'll go ahead and read it. I've got to turn back there. Verse 5, it says, does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And then he goes on in verse 5, and we'll just touch on this, and he said, even Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be absolutely sure that it is those who believe God, to those who are of faith, who are sons of Abraham. On the authority of the Word of God, it's those who believe God who are the sons of Abraham. These individuals were running under false teachers. They were boasting they were sons of Abraham. They were, according to the flesh, nothing. But according to the Spirit, that means everything. The true sons of Abraham, those who live by faith. It is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Now, that was for free. I know you'd all enjoy that and jot that down. So we've gone over this. We've taken a look at the three aspects. Consider your own experience. Is the Holy Spirit there? Does it vitalize your life? Do you love the brethren? Do you love the Word of God? Are you ministering? Or is your life just news, weather, and sports? There's a big difference. Y'all please stand with me and we'll pray and have the benediction and we'll leave.